Now, on literally a very different note, when you think of investments, your mind might immediately jump to shares and bonds. But we've been contacted by a woman with a very different kind of investment option in mind. Violinist Joanne Quigley is hoping that some of you listening this morning might be tempted to invest in a potentially lucrative piece of musical history. She desperately wants to get her hands on an antique violin worth £300,000 sterling. The investor will be getting a share of the instrument, which, if past performance can be relied upon, is likely to appreciate in value. Joanne, before we get into the investment potential, tell us about the violin you're hoping to acquire.
It's an amazing instrument to play, and for a long time I was very reluctant to give it a go because it was almost bought by someone else, and I had a chance meeting with the owner in London, and he said, by the way, the violin is still available. So at the time, well, I thought I'd have a go, you know. So, and I ended up playing it for 9 months, and it's very difficult to put out of your hand once you play it. In fact, one of the first concerts I did on it was with my brother, who's a pianist, in the National Concert Hall in November 2012. And we were playing a Beethoven sonata, which we'd played many, many times before. And we started rehearsing it in Dublin just a couple of days before. And I was doing all these different things that I'd never done before, you know. And I said to him at the end, this violin knows this piece very well. It's played it before. And that sounds so silly, but that's what it felt like. You know, I could feel the history in it and I could hear it.
So it's almost the instrumentalist version of how do you separate the dancer and the dance. If an instrument is that good, it actually brings out the player within you.
Absolutely. I think that it opens so many more opportunities as a violinist. If you have an instrument, this particular instrument that I'm trying to acquire is so even, there are four strings on a violin. Most violins have a slightly duff string where you have to work really hard to make the sound. And most violins have a couple of notes that don't actually work. They're called wolf notes, where the vibration doesn't match up and it sounds very odd. But this is one of the first violins that I've ever played which has none of those problems. You know, it's completely even. In the history of violins, Stradivarius obviously is a very, very well-known name. The violin that I'm hoping to acquire is by a guy called Peter Guarneri's, and they were working around the same time. In fact, Peter Guarneri's brother, his violins are known as Del Gesu. His name was Joseph, and Joseph Guarneri holds the world record at the moment for the highest price ever paid for a violin. I think it was $12 million last year. So they're kind of, the same kind of league. Different kind of sound, so it depends what your ear is attracted to, I suppose, as a violinist.
In terms of the investment proposition then, why is it that violins seem to A, hold their value and B, increase in value over time?
I guess essentially they're a work of art, and you know, this particular violin was made in 1740, so it's not going to be made again. There's nobody making this kind of violin at the moment, and it's they also appreciate because of who's played them, their lineage. You know, a lot of these great violins have been played by great soloists throughout the centuries. There's a nice story about this particular violin, which is perhaps myth, but I like to think that perhaps Paganini, who was regarded as the greatest violinist of all time, certainly knew this violin and maybe played it. He played a Joseph Guarneri violin, and both violins had the same repairer in Vienna at exactly the same time. So it's likely that he would have known of this violin by the brother of his own maker. So they've appreciated for, as far as I know, they've always appreciated in value. This particular violin was last bought in 1973 for £3,000 in London, and is currently on sale for £300,000. So it gives you a sort of an idea of what it's done in the past 40 years.
And you'd hope to add value to that then yourself?
Hopefully. I mean, the sort of ballpark figure in terms of percentage that I know about is that Stradivarius and Joseph Guarneri violins tend to appreciate by 10 to 12% per year. This particular violin, Peter Guarneri's, probably 7 to 10% per year. The company who are helping me, the Stradivarius Trust, they've been on the go for about 20 years. They've helped many string players, not only violinists, cellists and viola players as well, and bass players, to acquire instruments, which we wouldn't be able to manage by ourselves. You know, not many musicians are walking around with a spare $300,000 in their pocket. But part of their ethos is that whoever invests is, you know, investing not just in a work of art or an instrument, but also investing in a person and investing in an artist and an artist's career. I guess as from an investor's point of view, perhaps it's a certain type of investor who we're looking for. So someone who is interested in the arts, who is interested in following what I do over the next 20, 25 years, and can actually see and hear their investment on the concert stage.
Just in terms of what you're offering to investors then, tell us a little bit more about how people can find out about it, if there is anybody listening who would like a stake in this classic violin.
Yes, so I would say the first thing to do is to get in touch with this stradivarytrust.org is the email address, and that's the trust fund who have set up this trust for me. Alternatively, you can contact me directly, and the show will give detailed my email address to anyone who's interested in knowing more or meeting me or, you know, seeing the violin. I will have the violin at certain points, you know, if somebody wants to see it.
The target is €300,000. Have you started fundraising yet, or how close are you to, or far away are you from that total?
The target is actually £300,000. But yes, we are, I would say, getting up to about a third of the way there with investors. And
after how long?
Well, really about 4 or 5 months it's been going strong, you know, and I've been really pushing it for the past 4 or 5 months. So part of the problem has been actually getting face-to-face meetings with people who might be interested, and getting an opportunity to, you know, explain what it's about. And I think people who are going to invest in something might not necessarily think about musical instruments, you know, and it's particularly string instruments. They're the only instruments really that have risen in value over the years.
Joanne, thanks very much for coming into us this morning. Joanne Quigley, you've brought your instrument with you, as you say, not the Guarneri, unfortunately. What are you going to be playing for us?
I'm going to play you a beautiful Irish tune called The Coolin.
Very good. Well, just before we do that, I must remind people that not to forget that you can listen back to the programme anytime by going to the webpage. That's www.rte.ie/thebusiness. George will be back at the same time next week. Until then, thanks very much for listening, and take it away, Joanne.
The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Electric Ireland, providing excellent customer service for our growing SME sector.
And The Business, presented by Conor Brophy, is an Old Yard production for RTE Radio 1.